Bible said in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nation of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms, for buy yourselves bags which wax not old, and a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to be in church today. Lord, we don't take that lightly. There's many that would love to be here today, Lord, just not able. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be here. I pray now as we approach your word, approach the text, God, that you touch us. Pray you fill us with the Holy Ghost. Pray use us, God. I pray, Lord, most of all, that we'd see no man save Jesus only. Help us to be an encouragement to our people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we come to Luke chapter number 12, of course, we find that this is early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It probably lines up with Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the Synoptic Gospels. And looking at it, Jesus is speaking. And he comes here, we notice the principle in verse number 15. The Bible said, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, and he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? What is happening in verse 13 and 14 and verse 15, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. The context of the verse that we have read for our text is this man has ran up to Jesus and he is consumed with riches. He said, you need to buy the inheritance with my brother. And here was the issue. It was not uncommon for rabbis to do that, but Jesus said, I'm not going to get involved in your earthly finances. You need to be more concerned with the treasures that you are laying up in heaven. And he said, the problem, what Jesus is saying here, and I believe this other brother, I believe both brothers are present if you look at the verb tense of the word you. He said, the problem with you two is you're possessed with covetousness. He said, you're wanting more, and the word covetous means a greedy desire to have more. Colossians 3, 5 says, we're to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, covetous, which is idolatry. Paul said that being covetous is nothing more than idolatry. I read this quote this morning. Warren Wiersbe said, people who are only satisfied with the things that money can buy are in danger of losing the things that money cannot buy. I tell you, there's people this morning, they are consumed with a dollar bill. They are consumed with possessions. They are consumed with things, but they don't have any love for their family, and they don't have any love for their children, and they don't have any love for their community. They're just all focused on themselves, and they're ate up with covetousness this morning. Ain't amazing. I think that's a fitting subject to deal with the Sunday morning after Christmas. I mean, we get all these presents that we didn't deserve one of them. And you know what we all did when we opened up that last present? We all looked under the tree to see if there was one more. Now, don't look at me so sanctified and holy, you bunch of hypocrites. All of us are that way. We all have that little voice in the back of our mind. Did I get one more? My goodness, Daxton and Sightler, they got more gifts. They look like Toys R Us threw up in their bedroom. I mean, just stuff all over the place. And Daxton had the audacity to ask last night, we getting more Christmas presents tomorrow? I said, no. But you know what? We're just as bad. We're just as bad. God blessed us over and over again. God gives us things over and over again. And we say, well, ain't I going to get this? And ain't I going to get that? And, boy, I'd really be happy if God gave me that. And I'd really be happy if God gave me this. And we're just like a 7 or 8 year old around Christmas time. Did I get one more? There's a principle. Then he gives a parable in verses 16 through 21. He talks about the man that was a certain rich man, and his ground brought forth plenty. And when he thought to within himself, saying, what should I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this is what I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. Now that was not the sin. The sin was not that he had a great harvest. And the sin was not that he built bigger barns to store his harvest. The sin comes in verse number 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what he's saying? I am a self-made man. Everything I need is in them barns. I am a self-made man. I don't need anything else. I plowed this ground. I planted the seed. I watered it. I reaped the harvest. I built the barns. It's all mine. I am a self-made man. You ever heard that? Well, I worked hard, and that's my truck, that's my boat, that's my house. I'll tell you, if God didn't give us the breath and the ability to work and earn a living, we wouldn't have anything this morning. God called him a fool in verse 20. He said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall things whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. You know what he's saying? He said, sir, you're a fool. You're going to die tonight, and somebody else is going to enjoy your harvest. That's how temporal life is. That is the context of verse 22. There is the principle in the parable, but I'm interested in the peace this morning. Jesus looks at the disciples in verse 22 and says, therefore, I say. The word therefore always refers back to what he's been talking about, the context. Therefore, in light of this man that was rich towards himself and not rich towards God, he is putting up things. He was focused on the things of this world. He looks at a group of men who've forsaken all. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their living. They left all the things they trusted in. They started following this man, Jesus. He says, therefore, take no thought for your life. The little phrase here, take no thought for your life, means don't be anxious. The word anxious means greatly concerned, respecting something future or unknown, being in painful suspense. Another dictionary defines the word anxious as experiencing, here's our word today, worry. Now, most of the time when a preacher deals with a subject, most people think that the preacher's preaching on it, that he's got that subject down, and so he's got it down, he's going to help us with it. That ain't the case. I'm preaching to me just like I am to you, and I tell you, this subject I'm dealing with about worry this morning is something that if you're not a liar, everybody in this building deals with. We deal with worry. But Jesus here, I'm not doing any harm to the text, he says, what you worried about? Take no thought for your life. In fact, this little phrase, take no thought, is the same Greek word in Philippians 4:6 where Paul says, be careful for nothing. He said, don't worry about anything. Be careful. Take no thought. Now here let me say a few things here. These disciples, no doubt they were anxious. But Jesus in verse 23 said, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. He said, there's more to life than what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Now, Jesus is not, listen to me very carefully, Jesus is not preaching and teaching against working. There are some people that say, oh, so Jesus said, take no thought, I'm just going to live and God's going to meet all my needs. You're going to starve to death, you lazy bum. The book of Proverbs talks about the slothful man, and it's never in a positive sense. So the Lord, and Paul said, if a man don't work, he ought not eat. So he's not teaching against not working. Jesus is also not teaching against having a savings account. There's nothing wrong with having a savings account. I got a savings account. You know what's in there? What's left of that check y'all gave me last Sunday, amen? All Christmas presents, amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus is not, now some people say they're saving up for a rainy day. I know some people are saving up for a flood. I like Noah's flood. It ain't going to rain that much again, amen? But, and then he's not teaching us having, not about, he's not preaching against having a retirement fund. There's nothing wrong with having a retirement fund. There's nothing wrong with putting up in preparation. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you trust in that. I'm trusting in that check. I'm trusting in that savings account. I'm trusting in that, what is it, 401k? I ain't got a 401k. I just got a big O, all right? I mean, when you're trusting in that retirement fund, You say, when I get older and I can't work, then I'll have that. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not preaching against that whatsoever. You need to have those things. I think that's wise to do. I think the Word of God teaches those principles. But I tell you, when you live and say, I'm going to be all right because I have this, and your trust is this, you're messed up. Anything you trust in more than you trust in the Lord is an idol. The Bible said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And if you're trusting in your riches and your wealth, last time I checked, you're a human, you're a man, and it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. But preacher, you don't understand. I have bills. Hey, I got bills too. Preacher, you don't understand. I have needs. Everybody has needs. Preacher, you don't understand. I got issues. Everybody's got issues. I ain't never met anybody that has enough money. I've never met anybody that is satisfied with the money that they have. I've never met anybody that is satisfied. You know what? Y'all know me. I like sports and all that. And I was watching a sports thing the other day, and they asked Tom Brady several years ago. He's won several Super Bowls. They said, "What is your favorite Super Bowl ring?" He said, "The next one. The next one." He's only 85 years old playing in the Super Bowl. Amen. But the next one, you know what? I heard him say it. I was watching it last. He said, "I've won three." At this point, he said, "I've won three Super Bowls." And I said, "Is this all there is to it? Is this all there is to life?" You know what? Standing on the top of what the world says is the biggest stage, he stepped back and said, "Is this all there is?" And you and I that live check to check and week to week and all that, we think, boy, if I just had that kind of money, I'd be happy. But those people that have that money, they're not happy. They just want more. And they're never satisfied. Jesus looked at those disciples and said, "I know you've left all. I know you've walked away from a lot." He said, "But take no thought. Don't be worried." I just want to take that little phrase this morning, take no thought, and preach on winning the battle against worry. Winning the battle against worry. I'm going to tell you this morning, and I really hate preaching this because I know that there's going to be something this week that's going to come up in my face that I'm going to have to battle with worry. But I believe in this text this morning that Jesus gives us three things to help us win this war with worry or this battle with worry. I want to magnify three truths we're going to look at. He said to consider the fowls of the air. Then he tells us to consider the flowers that are arrayed. And then he tells us to consider our Father that is aware. Let's look at the text quickly. Number one, consider the fowls of the air. Look what he said in verse 24. In this context, consider the ravens. I just can't help but believe that when he said that, a raven was sitting up on a limb. He said, "Look at that raven." He said, "They neither sow nor reap, which either have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Think about this raven. I thought about this, the curse of a raven. Leviticus chapter 11 tells us that a raven is an abomination. It's an unclean animal. A raven being an unclean animal likes unclean things. We've been preaching out of Noah's Ark a little bit. You remember, he sent that raven out. The raven never came back because he found some dead carcass somewhere to light upon. The curse of the raven. The color of a raven. Solomon talks about that when the beloved's talking about the bride's talking about her beloved. She said his head is as most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. So he's a scoundrel. He's cursed. He's covered in darkness. The character of a raven, he sows not, neither does he reap. He doesn't have a storehouse or barn. You know what he is? He's a thief. He's a scavenger. He is a deceiver. He is a liar, if you would. There's the curse and the color and the character. But watch this, the care for the raven, and God feedeth them. Now hang on a second. This raven is cursed. He's covered in darkness. He's a thief. He's a scoundrel. He's a scavenger. He's a robber. But God still feeds him. And God still makes sure that the little raven's got enough to eat every day. And there's the Christian and the raven. He said, "How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Watch it now. I'm not under the curse of sin anymore. I've been redeemed from the curse. My heart's not black anymore. I've been washed in the blood. And you know what? If God's going to feed a raven who does not have a soul, I hate to break it to you, but dogs don't die and go to heaven, amen? And birds don't die and go to heaven. They don't have a soul. They just die and they cease to be. But God didn't die for that raven. But I'll tell you what God does. God makes sure that raven has exactly what it needs every single day. And Jesus said, if I'm a feeding that sorry raven, he said, I'm going to give my life for you. How much more are you better than the fowls? I'm going to feed you. Amen. Don't worry. Just consider the fowls of the air. Oh, consider that God feeds them. And notice the fowls of the air he tells us to consider. But secondly, he tells us to consider the flowers that are arrayed. Oh, look at verse 27. He says, consider the lilies. And how they grow. Warren Wiersbe said he believes that Jesus picked up a lily off the ground. Said, consider the lily. How it grows. They toil not. And they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? I thought about this. There is the beauty of the lily. Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not. He said of Solomon, Solomon was the flashiest king, if you would, in Israel. He was the wealthy one man I'm read after. Said it's estimated in today's economy that Solomon would be worth $100 billion. No doubt he had the finest clothes, but Jesus said, I'll tell you right now, Solomon didn't look as good as what that lily did. He said, there's the beauty, but there's the briefness of the lily. He said, if God clothed that grass of the field, which is here today and cast in the oven tomorrow, he said, it don't even last. The point is that it don't even last forever. It don't have any eternal value. It's just gone. It ceases to be. There's the beauty and the briefness, but there's the believer in the lily. He said, how much more will he clothe you, a little faith? He said, if I'm going to clothe that lily in a raiment and glory, lily's probably one of the most prettiest flowers there is. I think it is, especially the peace lilies, like Easter lilies, things of that nature, beautiful. God said, if I'm going to clothe that lily, how much, and it's not even going to be here tomorrow. He said, how much more when I'm going to clothe you? I tell you, he said, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to clothe you. That's what the disciples were worried about. Where are we going to eat? They were good Baptist preachers. What are we going to wear? They were good Baptist preachers, amen. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? And God said, I'll tell you right now, if I feed that raven and I clothe that lily, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You know what I've seen God do? I've seen God feed me over and over again. I have watched God put clothes on my back, shoes on my feet over and over again. I tell you, God has been faithful to me. So why are we worrying? Did anybody have a bill that you didn't pay this year that you couldn't afford, that didn't go paid? I've had some bills I forgot about, and I paid them, amen. But all the bills are paid. And let's just think, for ain't nobody here but us. All the bills are paid. We probably got more, we probably threw more food away yesterday. I tell you, we got more. And you know what all of us will do next week? We'll sit down in the checkbook. How are we going to make it this week? You hear people say, preacher, I just live week to week. I just live week to week. Hey, tell us, you know something? That's how you live. Actually, Jesus said we're to live day by day. He said, give us this day our daily bread. So I said, I wish God would give me $1 million. If he did, you probably wouldn't talk to him for a few days. Oh, but if you live day by day, you say, God, I'm going to have you meet some needs today. And when he meets those needs, the next thing, God, thanks for what you've done yesterday, but Lord, today's a new day. I'm going to need you to take care of some things today. You know what he said? You know why God makes us you live day by day, week to week? So you'll come to him and say, God, if you don't show up, man, you're going to look mighty embarrassed. Yeah. Amen. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an opportunity to stand. There ain't nobody in here this morning to say, you know what, God failed me. God didn't meet my need. God didn't provide. I'll tell you all of this morning. And I'll say this, as long as you're honoring God and tithing and giving to missions, don't expect God to bless you if you're not being faithful when you're giving. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. But I tell you, we have watched God in this church over and over again bless and do marvelous things. You know why? Because God sent it in. We sent it out. Amen. And I tell you, we have watched God do. 2 years ago, we had a bar just to make it through the week. And then last month, we sent out more money than we had to borrow from ourselves. I tell you, God has been, just the missionaries, God has been faithful to us. God has been good to us. And I'm telling you, we ought to just consider the fowls of the air and consider the flowers that are arrayed. If God feeds the raven and if God clothes the lily, oh, God didn't die for a raven and God didn't die for a lily, but He did send His Son for a lot of sinners like you and I. And if God ain't going to let that raven starve, hey, you might see a dead bird. I promise you this, though, he didn't starve to death. God fed him. He might have fell out of a tree, might have got hit by a car, might have got eaten by a coyote. But I tell you, he didn't starve to death. And if that coyote ate him, he was a plump raven. Somebody say amen right there. God fed him. God took care of him. And I tell you, God's going to take care of you. God's going to answer your prayer. God's going to meet your need. I don't know what 2022 holds, but I know there's a God who will be faithful. There's a God who will be there to the thick and the thin. He said, consider the fowls of the air and the flowers that are arrayed. But in closing, I want to magnify, consider the Father that is aware. Look at it in verse 30 through 32. He said, verse 29, look at this. And seek not what you shall eat and what you shall drink, neither be doubtful of mine. Ooh, ain't that what we struggle with? Doubtful of mine. Now, how's God going to do this? How are we going to meet? How are we going to pay that bill? Many of you, maybe even on the night we turn in our Faith Promise mission cards, you put it in by faith. I don't know how we're going to pay that all year long. I don't know how we're going to do that. And God's blessed it, and God's paid 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 it. Doubtful of mine. He said, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Watch this now. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. It's like He's saying, don't you think I know that you need to eat? I made you. I made your body. I made your digestive system. I know what your body needs. He said, but seek ye rather the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. Oh, I love it. That's why I don't mind when we have a small crowd anymore. Because Jesus had a small crowd. He looked and said, fear not, little flock. Amen. He said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's a conduct we must deny in verse 29 and 30. He said, the nations of the world seek after these things. We know we're supposed to be different from the world in our conversation, our clothing, our character, but even in our conduct. This is what the world does. How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? God's people says, we're going to make it. Now, how are we going to get there? God's going to show us, but we're going to make it. Amen. There's a conduct we must deny. The world lives by fear, panic, and worry, but God's people lives by faith, peace, and the Word. There's a confidence we must display. And your Father knoweth you have need of these things. There's a choice we must decide, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, what is that kingdom of God? We know in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Seek those things. He said in Colossians chapter number 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. There's a conduct we must deny, a confidence we must display. I hope this is helping you like it's helped me. A choice we must decide, a contribution we can discover. Verse 31, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to tell you, Brother Rich, Brother Michael, Brother Larry can testify to this. He's obviously been in this way longer than we have. But God has been better to my family than I ever could have been to my family. Everything I have, God's people gave me. And I ain't fussing with you or fighting with you. We don't do Santa Claus. I mean, we don't. That's fine. If you do, that's fine. But I've never told my boys that Santa brought the gifts. I said, God's people. Preached at Brother Reese's the other week, and they gave me an offering. The church gave me an offering Sunday, and that's why we had Christmas presents. Because God's people. People that my kids have never met. But go and preach somewhere, and they give you a little offering. And the people here give you a little offering. Santa didn't bring it. God's people. Now, I want to know God's people, the greatest people in the world. God's been better to my family than I ever could have been. You know why?
I'm not bragging on me because I've tried. I ain't always done a good job at it. But I'm trying to seek the kingdom of God. I'm trying to seek righteousness and that joy and that peace and the Holy Ghost. I didn't say I've always got it right, Brother Tony. Deep down in my heart, I wanted to. And God said, if you'll do that, I'll have these other things that you're wanting to you. Things. Not needs, just things. Amen. See the contribution we can discover and then the comfort we can depend on. Verse 32. He says, fear not, little flock. He said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, fear not. You know what the world, and I'm not trying to get political. Y'all know me, I despise that. But I tell you, the news and all the world, they want to get you in a panic. They want to get you stirred up and get you all depressed and get you aggravated and get people worried. I tell you, there are people that are so eat up with worry and stress and panic, they don't even know what to do. But I tell you, that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God for God's people to be like that. He says, fear not, little flock. I had a song marked earlier and I'm trying to find it now. He says, fear not, little flock. He said, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now that kingdom in that text, that is talking about the millennial kingdom. Talking about that kingdom is going to be a 1,000-year reign after the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. It's referring to the millennial kingdom. I said, preacher, why should that bless us? Because there has been some of God's people that have struggled. Lazarus was a beggar. There are many of God's people that did die. God didn't fail them. God didn't leave them alone. Somebody said, well, God must be better. No, sometimes God just gives people different lots in life. God gives people different crosses to bear. But I tell you, in that millennial kingdom, everybody's going to be on equal ground. Not maybe service-wise, but provision-wise. Everybody's going to have everything they need. He said, it is His good pleasure. Warren Wiersbe made this statement. He said, God's pleasure, which is to give us the kingdom, and our treasures should go together. That's why Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be.